Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Everybody, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time down here in Texas, South Texas. That's where I'm at. And we're on also YouTube Live. This is Blog Talk Radio. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live, all things trucking and then some. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Or you can follow us on YouTube Live right now. That's where we're at. You can check us out there. Redneck and Eyes is the name of our YouTube channel. Please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate everybody doing that for us. And all of this is made possible by generous sponsorship donations from people like DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. That's the great outfit there. They've got all of the, you know, where if you want to... what it is if you got one of those newer trucks that's got the particulate filter and you need to get either get clean or replaced, that's the guys to call, DPF Regeneration. A lot of owner-operators like to work on their own equipment, especially if it's an older truck. But sometimes these newer trucks, and you figure, you know what, I can't do anything. I got to take it to get it done and everything. Well, you know, get it done the right way. Get it done by somebody that knows what they're doing. Also, when you need something cleaned, like you got to get the filter clean. Replacing it is expensive, but you can do that. But getting it cleaned is expensive, and it's you don't want to just half-ass it. You want to get it done. So what you need to do is you need to get it over to DPF Regeneration, because they've got actual labs. They you overnight them the filter, they clean it in a clean lab, and then overnight it back to you, and gets it done properly. And that's what you want. You want to get it clean. So, and they also got other parts for other things, any size diesel engine. So if you've got a pickup truck or a smaller diesel engine, they've got the parts for those too. So give them, check them out, DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com, or you can give them a call at 800, what was it again, 634-3010. It's 800-634-3010, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. So today's Friday. It's August 19th, still 2022, so don't get your hopes up yet. But, you know, it's almost over. I mean, you got in August is coming to an end, and then you've only got, what, 4 months left? And one more month left in the third quarter. And we'll find out whether or not we've got a GDP down for 3 solid quarters. Never know. I was looking it up, and, you know, remember when they changed the definition? The administration, Joe Biden, and all the people there. They technically changed it. That's not technically the definition. Well, you know what? Google's in on it, too. Because if you Google recession or depression and you ask, you know, what is the definition? And they all have, it's like, oh, you need to have, you know, lots of different factors and it needs to be this. And it's like, we've always known that the recession was, you know, negative GDP growth in 2 solid quarters straight. I don't know what the definition of a depression is. I thought maybe that if it was 4 straight quarters, technically it would be a depression. But I guess they would classify it, I think, as like, just like they said here, they said if the stock market was down and unemployment was high and the GDP growth was in the negative, then it would be a recession. But it's not, because the stock market's still high and unemployment's still low. I think, you know, I used to think that all those numbers were legit. I don't think they are anymore. I think they're all worked. It's all political. and even the stock market. I mean, you know, as long as somebody's making something, you know, what you see is you see the stock prices fall just because somebody buys and sells stock. The company Tesla, okay, let's just boil down to it. Tesla, everybody loves the Tesla stock. Tesla doesn't really make that much money. It's just that they make a good product, and the owner of the company that owns, you know, a significant amount of shares of the stock and, you know, is very smart and has his hands in other things and all that, they just like, you know, they like the company, like what he does and likes what kind of innovations he does. And a lot of the stuff is like they have patents on the battery technology, stuff like that. So, but the company really doesn't make that much money. So, but the stock is great. Everybody loves the stock. So it's like stock is not really that big of a deal. You know, you can have companies that make money, you know, just like we were looking at it the other day. We were looking at yesterday, we did Uber Freight talking about self-driving trucks, and it was on Yahoo Finance, and they put up some numbers for the logistics stocks, and it was XPO, FedEx, UPS, what was the other one? Roadway or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, there were four transportation stocks, and they were all doing very well. And some of them were down, but, you know, overall they're up. Swift, same way. It's a good stock. It doesn't really probably go up and down significantly that much, but it's steady. But the funny thing is the companies don't make that much money. We know that. In the trucking business, there's not that much profit. So, you know, I was always told that Ford and other different companies, they pay dividends. So when the quarters get announced and they say, well, we profited this much money, a percentage of that profit goes out to all the shareholders as a dividend. And you want that. You want to be paid dividends based off what it makes. So when the company does very, very well, the stock does very, very good. And that's the ultimate goal, is you want the company to do good so the stock goes up. But other than that, doesn't matter. When Elon Musk, you go back over to Tesla, when Elon Musk announced that he was going to buy Twitter, he needed some cash. So he sold a lot of his Tesla stock to get cash. He needed cash up front to pay some lawyers and pay some bills for the SEC to do all the filings and all that stuff, because he announced he wanted to buy Twitter, right? Well, because he sold so much stock for Tesla, the stock price naturally started going down. But because he announced that he was going to buy Twitter, all the people were like, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. We're not going to sell off our stock because we know what he's doing. He's getting cash so he can buy Twitter. Then when he's kind of like, now he's kind of like, well, I don't know if I'm going to buy it or not, because they can't come up with their deal. And, you know, and it's all a big game with Twitter. They're trying to get him to, you know, they're like, yeah, no, you need to buy it now. Cause now that it's coming out that Twitter, you know, they don't really run the company very well. So now their stock is going down, because the company's not run very well, but everybody was buying it. The stock was doing good. So go back to Tesla. Now, Elon Musk, they say, some people kind of like theoried, if you follow some of the podcasts, some people theoried that he really didn't want to buy Twitter. He just said that so that when he did liquidate a lot of stock to get a lot of cash, the stock wouldn't drop that much. It's like, and one guy was like, you know, and if that's the case, that's legit. That's like genius, because we see that all the time. People get in trouble because they buy and sell stock a lot. They move a lot of stock around. I don't know if anybody knows this, but back in the day, Jerry Moyse, the owner and founder of Swift, you know, he put it publicly to the company, and then they merged with them as carriers, and he kind of got pushed out and all that. And so then what he did was, is he went in with Morgan Stanley, I think it was. I can't remember exactly who it was, but it was some big bank, some big investment bank, and he bought Swift off the market. Now he is the private owner of Swift, because he was like, you know what, screw all those MS carrier people, I want my company back, and he went and bought it. They kind of kicked him out and told him to step down because he was buying and selling stock, and because he bought and sold stock at a certain time, because he's got accountants over here buying and selling stock, but then he's also got the company VPs over here making announcements, and it kind of fell on the same day or the same week where a big announcement was made, and then some stock was bought and sold, and it kind of like he made a bunch of money, and the SEC was like, that's not right. We're going to fine you, and you got to step down as CEO and all that. And instead of him, you know, instead these rich people, instead of going to jail, they just, you know, give up some power and give up some money, and that's about it. But he was pissed. So he bought the company off the market, and then he was owned the company, and the bank was making money. They were collecting the profits, or, you know, most of the profits, because that was their, it was like an how much money is the payment for rebuying the company back. You know, you're talking about, you know, $300-400 million. Well, then he put it back on the market. And because it's a good, steady stock, it doesn't actually, you know, it's a good, steady company, good, steady stock. That was a good plan, they made money. So that's what happens on all that stuff, is they do that just so they can move their money around. And Elon Musk, he might have been doing the same thing. So, you know, so when we look at recession, depression, you know, maybe it is because the market's got to be down. But again, to me, that's all manipulated anyway. You know, back in the day when you didn't have a Federal Reserve, back before the Depression, and there wasn't anybody sitting there in dark rooms with fireplaces and leather chairs, sipping on lattes, talking about what they can do to keep their money and all that. You know, people were just buying and selling stock, and then everything crashed because there was too much money flowing, and we got a depression because a lot of people lost a lot of money. Well, nowadays, that's never going to happen again because of the fact that the people are sitting in dark rooms and they're making decisions above our pay grade that we have no control over, and neither does the government, and neither does, you know, I mean, I guarantee you Elon Musk, he probably knows what's going on. He just doesn't have any power to stop it. So he does what he does. He moves money around. Just like Jerry Moyse, he moves money around. But when you do it, you know, and they kind of don't like it, then, you know, we see SEC. I don't know if anybody saw the mortgage crisis back in 2008. A lot of documentaries and movies were made about that. The credit Moody's, the credit agencies that like rate the securities and all that. Well, they weren't doing an accurate job doing that stuff. So they were saying these securities were grade A or triple A credit securities that you should buy. And no, they were junk. They were worthless. And then that's what the default was, that people weren't paying their loans back. And these loans were in securities that they were selling, and that's what happened. So, yeah. The one movie is called The Big Short. If you ever see that, that's a good representation. One of the guys that was in on the one of the guys that made a lot of money was one of the guys that did that, because he predicted it, and nobody listened to him. They said he was crazy, because what he was doing, he was buying what do they call that? A hedge fund security or something like that. He was paying them to say, okay, I'm going to pay you this much money to buy this security. And it's a lot of money, but when it defaults, you owe me this much. And they're like, yeah, it's never going to default. And then it did. So yeah. and that's kind of a hedge. It's everybody's bet. You know, that's what it is. One of them was, what's that called? Margin call. And that was Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch was one of the big ones that they saw what was going on, and then they lied. And they took all of their securities and then sold them. That day of the crash, they sold everything, pennies on the dollar, and they were worthless. So they had stuff that was worth, you know, nothing, because it was default. According to the paperwork, it was worth $100 million. Well, they were selling it for $50 million. 60 million, 70 million. You know, they were trying to get as much money as they could, and it would throughout the day, because stuff was going down, they kept going down, down, down. Everything was worthless, but they were selling it, trying to get their cash and get out is what they did. That's why Merrill Lynch doesn't exist anymore. So, and that margin call, that was written by the son of one of the guys that found the error, found the mistake, and the guy got fired, and you know, it's in the movie. It's good. I got the DVD and there's an actual like documentary of the making of the movie, and the guy that actually wrote the script and everything, you know, he talked about it and everything. So it was good stuff. You know, it's almost accurate, not quite, but you know, it's there. So yeah, but hey, that's the way things go. And I, like I said, I think it's all manipulated. So when you talk about recession, depression, whatever, you know, whatever the politicians say, it'll, you know, whatever they want. It's never going to, like, actually happen. It's whatever you feel. Yesterday I told you, you know, if you continue to support politicians that spend money that they don't have, that is what affects your bank account and makes your bank account less valuable. And that's what the bottom line is. It doesn't matter what they call it, depression, recession, downturn, bulls, bears. It doesn't matter. It's whatever's in your bank that makes you feel. Right now, I've got a retirement account through the company I work for, and so far, since the first of the year, it's still down $10,000. As of the 1st of January, 2022, I'm down $10,000 on the year. That's what it's about. And it has nothing to do with the company. It's the mutual funds or whatever. The money is not there. They're not, the stock market is down. So don't, you know, but it goes up and down, but overall, you know, most of the big stuff is down. So that's what everybody's just telling you. So you know, you got to leave it in and it'll come back. It'll come back. It's just when, we don't know. You know, you see politicians change hands. That's why I think what's going to happen is that the Republicans are going to take over, and you're going to see a lot of reduced spending, and the stock market, some of the stock market's not going to like it, but overall it's a good thing, because the politicians spending money they don't have makes your bank account less valuable. Bottom line. So, yep. Let's see. Boom, boom, boom. So, yep. All things trucking and then some, that's what we talk about. I'm trying to just talk about things going on in my life, and I got fired up about the money because I'm checking my retirement account and it's not doing so good right now. And I, you know, kind of did a little digging, and you kind of just realize it, that it's all, you know, and you watch the news, it's all messed up. They just say what they want to say, you know, and we can all see it, that it's whatever the Democratic leftist politicians say, that's what the media says. And if you're a Republican and you try to speak out, or you're a conservative and you try to speak out that spending money is bad, government intervention is bad, government spending, government control is bad, and they'll tell you you're crazy. You're racist. That's what they'll tell you. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Other than that, football's back. Last night, football games were played, and you had the Bears play the Seahawks, and the Bears whooped up on the Seahawks bad, 27-11. Right now, the Panthers are playing the Patriots, and then the Saints are at the Packers, and then later on tonight, the Texans are at the Rams. So that's tonight. I thought there were more games yesterday. Is that not right? You know what? Let's go. Keep going. There's Sunday games. There's even a Monday game. Yeah, I guess there was only one game last night, but there's more. There's three games tonight, and then there's games. I'll get back out of here. And then there's game Saturday. Cowboys play late Saturday night. They're playing at San Diego. And that's, yep. And, of course, there is no prime time game. Well, didn't I see one? Nope. No games are like prime time, big time tomorrow night. It's Sunday night at 7 p.m. on Fox. And then there's an ESPN Monday night game on ESPN, Falcons and Jets. The Ravens and Cardinals play tomorrow night. I got to let a friend of mine know that. They're a Ravens fan living here in South Texas, so it's a big deal. When you can't really get the teams, you know, unless you've got the Sunday ticket playing it. NFL has a new streaming service where you can watch the games, but you got to pay a lot of money. You can watch the games. You're just not going to watch the market game. So it's one of those things where, just like I said before, the local teams, like in Texas, if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if the Cowboys are on, you're not going to be able to watch any other game. Down here, sometimes if the Texans are playing the same time the Cowboys are, because we're like away from the big city, we might get both games, the Texans and the Cowboys at the same time. But sometimes it's like one game is it's kind of like they flip a coin. One week they'll feature the Cowboys at noon, and then if the Texans play at 3, there might be another game on. And then even then, if the Cowboys, let's say, I think it's the late games. there's always two late games. So if the Cowboys and the Texans play, one game's at noon, the other game's at 3, but the other game will always be the late game, the 3 o'clock game. It's weird. It bugs me because I'm like, hey, maybe I'll get to see that team. And that team's playing good. Maybe I'll get to see that team. It's a crapshoot. So, yeah. But anyway, that's kind of what I'm talking about. And like I said, we're on YouTube Live, and you can chime in if you want to. Let me go, man, make sure. I pull it up here, and sometimes I don't get on the chat right away to see, make sure people are, you know, participating. And so far, so good. Everything's good on that. But you can check it out, YouTube Live. Redneck and I's is the name of the channel. Please go subscribe. But we're also on redneckandi's.com. That's, you got links to all of our social media accounts and our great sponsors. Awesome. Cool. Awesome. Yep, good deal. Hey, all right, now, hey, so check it out, redneckandi's.com. Get all links to all of our social media accounts and all of our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I'd like to mention is Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. You can download their app from your app store, and whether iPhone or Android, whatever you need, go check it out, truckertools.com, the app for truckers. I appreciate all their support. So, yeah, this is Redneck and I's Radio. We're just here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time for 1 hour, and then I'm off to work. So, we got about an hour left, or no, not an hour left. We got about 30 minutes left, so check us out. 515-602-9731. We'll see you in a bit.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Truck stop, I never knew my mother highway's been my home. Two lane blacktop, a super highway. Drive 'em all night and I drive 'em all day. Sometimes it seems like I'm going nowhere. Like the rest of the wind, I keep moving on and I can't seem to stay in one place.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's Friday. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in. And follow us along on redneckandeyes.com. You can check all the links to our social media accounts. We're also on YouTube Live right now, and you can find the link to that on redneckandeyes.com. Or just search Redneck and Eyes. It'll pop up. And along with a lot of great videos. We got a lot of great videos on YouTube. We talk about just life on the road. We do a lot of the radio show on here. That's probably the majority of it now since we've been doing it for over a year now, is a lot of the Redneck and Eyes radio live on YouTube. Or we record it and then later on upload the videos. I still got other episodes that I have not yet uploaded. So we're in the process of trying to get all that done. But before that, you know, and during the truck shows, we would put on videos talking about different things. We talk about Redneck and I's moments where, you know, he had problems on the road and how we fixed them, how we took care of it, how we got the job done, whether or not how we help drivers and help other drivers out there on the road and everything. And then we also talk about to the four-wheelers. We talk about how to drive around big trucks. So trying to teach the four-wheelers what we encounter out there and what we see. And what it would be better if they would change the ways. You know, I talk about high beams, talk about lights on while raining, talking about getting on and off the interstate, who to yield, who not to yield, that kind of stuff, getting out of the way, you know, different things. Space management, turning, even in the city streets when a truck is trying to turn. You know, a lot of times we pull up in the intersection and we have to wait on the cars to get out of the way, and they just kind of look at us like we're, you know, like we're the stupid one. And it's kind of like, you need to move. And, you know, they don't realize that. So I tell them that. It's like, you might see a truck sitting there on one side of the road, and you're like, why are they sitting over there that far to that side of the road, and why are they just sitting there not going? It's because they've got to turn where you're at, and they need all that room to do it. But you got to get out of the way. And it's kind of like, because we do that, right? We're waiting. And then we're waiting on them. We're pointing at them. They're not doing anything. And then finally we pull up to where we have to block everything and wait on them to move out of the way. And a lot of times then they back up and it makes it even worse. So, yeah. So we got a bunch of videos like that where we talk about it on our YouTube channel. And we appreciate everybody subscribing and sharing those videos. And, of course, leaving your comments on how things like that go. So check it out. Also, we're you know, we go out to the truck shows, Redneck and Eyes does, and so right now it's kind of tentative that we're going to be out there at the, I'll go ahead and pull it up. I think I've got it pulled up right here. It's truckersforhope.com, and it's the Truckers for Hope Truck Show, and that's September 23rd through the 25th out in Clinton County Fairgrounds in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania, and that is up there like near State College, Pennsylvania. A bunch of good people out there. They do tractor pulls. They got the truck shows. They're going to have some concerts out there. Pull it up here. 2022 show schedule Thursday. It's just everybody getting there and parking, and then they're going to have a convoy. Friday is where they start doing rides and animal displays. They got a 4x4 show entry. Cornhole tournament, and then they got a concert with Long Haul Paul and Tony Justice. And Saturday, it's same thing. They got 4x4 pools, tractor pools, animal display, monster truck rides, and still more cornhole tournaments. And they got a drag race, all that kind of stuff. And then they're going to do a fireworks show, and then they're going to have Little Texas performing then. And, of course, Sunday is just everything winding down. They got church service in the morning, and then, of course, music after that. After the service, And then, of course, they got it says Bull Ride Mania. Oh, man, what is that? I wonder what that's going to be about. Oh, my goodness. Them truck drivers get on the big bull. So that's the Truckers for Hope Truck Show, September 23rd through the 25th, out there in the Clinton County Fairgrounds in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. We really, it's one of those things where we, I think, as Redneck and I, as we made a decision this year that we're not going to go to the big shows. We're going to make it to the smaller shows, the ones where they actually care about the drivers and the ones that actually care about us, the organizations that are run by drivers. So that's one of those things we want to do. So we really appreciate everybody getting along for that. Go check them out, truckersforhope.com. That's truckers, the number four, hope.com. And check them out. We appreciate all their support. So this is kind of a Friday free-for-all, and as long as nobody calls in or anything, let me double-check, make sure there's not some stuff going on that I don't see. And cool deal. So I just kind of go over what we did this week as the radio shows, what we talked about. So, and of course, it's kind of easy because I did the shows on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So on Monday, the 15th, what we did talk about is we talked about, first off, I did a little rant about the unbiased media, because what I had done was I checked the mail and go ahead and stop this sharing. That way you can see everything on YouTube. So I got my Landline magazine, and it's a Landline magazine, which is from the Landline Media, which is also, they do a radio show, I think, on Sirius XM Landline Now or something like that. But anyway, it's all done by OIDA. So what I wanted to remind everybody is that when you read these articles in this Landline magazine, just remember that it's all biased toward being pro-OIDA. And, you know, at least you know it. You know, at least they're not hiding the ball. They're not trying to be legitimately, you know, unbiased. They are biased. Just always know that. I don't like it when these other people come out against, you know, they're trying to be objective. Oh, we're objective. No, you're not. No, you're not. Just go ahead and say you're biased and just pick a side. It's okay to pick a side. I don't know if anybody has studied journalism or any kind of history of, you know, the media or whatever, but there was a couple of documentaries, and then I follow Ben Shapiro very closely, and he talks about it a lot because he's one of those. He's a, we're journalists. We're always going to tell you the truth, but we're always going to be biased. You know, we're going to choose a side. And that's what Ben Shapiro always says. But he says that. He says that, you know, back in the day, before the Associated Press, you know, the turn of the century kind of thing, and the 1800s and all that, every media outlet was biased, every single one. Because that's why you see when the newspapers, they're called, you know, the Republic, or they're called the California Democrat, or whatever it is. It's the newspaper had the word either Republican or Democrat, or, you know, whatever it was. That's what they did. They picked a side, and you knew that going in. And now it's like the Associated Press, I don't know, they kind of got a pat on the back from the government, and it's kind of like, you know, we're going to feed you a lot of stuff and we're going to expect you to do that, but you're going to promote yourself as objective. And it just doesn't work that way. Don't do it, you know. And I would like to see more and more journalists pick a side. That's fine. Pick a side. I like watching Bill Maher on HBO just because I know he picks a side. And he's not trying to be objective. He's picking a side. I can't watch MSNBC and CNN because they constantly are talking about how they're unbiased and they're objective. And then they're not. We know they're not. But that's kind of what I went on a rant about, and I'm going on again. But and then later that day, there was an article that we saw that was on – what was that on? That was on CDLLife.com about truckers protesting out in Baltimore for detention time because they were being delayed. They get there, and it takes them three or four hours to get their trailer or container, and they don't get paid for that. So they were protesting. And we got that on our episode for the Monday the 15th. And then on Tuesday, let's see. We talked about a couple of things. First off, there was a recall. That's right. I remember that the recall for the Navistar, if you had a Lone Star or what was it, an XL something? Anyway, there was a recall on the battery cables and the battery connectors. So, and we got that on our Tuesday episode for the August 16th episode where we talked about having battery connectors. So you can go check that out. Like I said, they're on YouTube or they're also here on the Blog Talk Radio, all the audio versions where you can either download them and listen to them at your leisure or stream them as you're going there right there on blogtalkradio.com. Just search Redneck and Eyes Radio and they should just pull right up. So that there was that. And then there was a Tesla out in California. It was a family, a mother and her children crossed over the median, or it wasn't the median. It was kind of like, it was a big road, like a 4 or 3 lane road. And they just crossed over in oncoming traffic and hit a big truck and they all passed away. And I was, you know, the first question that was in the article was the Tesla self-driving? And according to the family, it was an older Tesla, 2014, wasn't self-driving. What I switched over to was I felt bad, you know, the family being, that was tragic, very, very tragic. I feel really, really bad for the truck driver. He did not, I mean, according to what we all know right now, as of right now, he didn't do anything illegal. But yet, it was almost kind of like the family passed away right in front of him that hit his truck. And to me, that would be devastating for me. You know, you're going down the road and everything's great. And then all of a sudden the car is in front of you and you can't stop it and it hits you. And that's just something that that's going to be PTSD for that driver for a long time. But even worse is that the government, lawyers, somebody is going to be questioning everything that driver did for at least 2 days before that accident. Like, you know, was the driver sleeping good? Was the driver driving illegal? Was the driver hauling incorrect weight, physical up to date, drug test, all that stuff? The driver's going to have to do all that regardless of whether he was at fault or not. And I think we pray for the family. They lost loved ones. Also, I'd like to, you know, send out a prayer for the driver. And I'm thinking about him because I've seen drivers lose it. You know, it haunts them to have to go through that kind of thing, you know, out there on the road when it just happened right in front of them like that. And they were part of it. So, yeah. So then I took a break. And then on Thursday, we came back. And Thursday was a good deal because we talked about, that was on the 18th. Here we go. On the 18th, we were talking about autonomous trucks. And I just said it before, Uber Freight, they did an interview, the Yahoo Finance did an interview with the head of Uber Freight. Freight's talking about what they want to do for self-driving trucks because they say it's coming fast. They're getting in with the companies doing it, and what they're setting up is what we talked about. They're setting up hubs, and they're going to do hub to hub, point to point, where all the freight gets picked up at the shipper, whether it be close or not, whatever it's going to be. Try to be as close as they can to the shipper with a hub, and then all the self-driving trucks will be at that hub, and then there'll be people there hooking up the trailers, and then the truck would leave out. As of right now, drivers will be in the trucks, but they're hoping to have driverless trucks going hub to hub. And I said, you know, it's going to be major city to major city. It might be Houston to Dallas. It might be Dallas to Atlanta or Dallas to Shreveport or Dallas to, you know, Oklahoma City. It might be L.A. to Phoenix. It might be Phoenix to Flagstaff or, you know, Phoenix to El Paso. To me, Phoenix to El Paso would be really good. That's a boring-ass drive. It might be Flagstaff to Albuquerque. You know, Albuquerque to Amarillo. Amarillo to Oklahoma City. That'd be another good drive. You know, Oklahoma City to Joplin. That kind of thing. That's what I'd predict. But I'm not in charge, so I don't know. But anyway, that's what they talked about. And they talked about how the money was going to be there to save all the jobs and, you know, and all that. And I just don't think that's not where the jobs are needed. The jobs are needed to where you've got these facilities out in the middle of nowhere where, you know, there is no hub because there is no major city, you know, and it's like these paper mills. Paper mills are all over the country, whether it be recycled paper or, you know, coming right off the tree. You got one in Alexandria, Louisiana, out there in the middle of nowhere. There's like three or four in like Alabama alone. And Georgia, too, often, I think it's, I can't remember the names of the towns, but in Georgia in the southern Georgia. There's like a Georgia Pacific facility, and they're in the middle of nowhere. They're out in the country. And you're going to, I mean, that's a great place to have a hub. But again, it's not, the freight doesn't go to one place. The freight goes to a bunch of places. We talked about Procter & Gamble. There's a place in Lima, Ohio. Is it? No, it's not Lima. It's Findlay, Ohio. That's what it is. Procter & Gamble has a place in Findlay, Ohio. And it, like I said, it's not that you pick up in Findlay and everything goes to St. Louis or everything goes to Atlanta. No, man, they go to a bunch of different places all over the country. And you, self-driving trucks are not going to be able to keep up with that. You're going to have drivers going to those places. And then what happens is that, let's say you've got three drivers in Findlay, Ohio. They all need to go to Alabama, but you only got, you got three drivers that live in Alabama in Findlay, Ohio, and you only got two loads. One driver's not going to get home. And that's where the driver shortage falls, because next time those drivers get ready to leave the house, they're not going to want to go to Findlay, Ohio. Because they're like, well, the last time I went up there, you couldn't get me home, so I don't want to do that. And that's why driver shortage is, because I don't want to go to a place where I'm going to get stuck and I can't get home. That's what drivers don't want to do. So till you fix that problem. And a lot of times companies don't want to fix that problem. You know, they're like, well, just stay home then, you know, and then next thing you know, they're short drivers. So yeah. And then the next thing we talked about on Thursday, there was a thing on Meet the Press that I played where we were talking about uneducated voters and how they said, well, the Republicans are catering to the uneducated voters, but they don't vote as much. And I said, it doesn't even matter. I mean, you can have 50% of the uneducated voters vote. It's still twice as many as the, you know, 70% of college degree voters. You know, you get 70% of the college degree voters and you get 50% of the non-college degree voters. There's still more voters for the non-college degrees, because not everybody has a college degree, because some people aren't stupid enough to go spend a lot of money on a degree and then there's no job that pays anything. You know, you even got truck drivers out here with college degrees and they realize, you know what, I can make more money just driving truck instead of trying to be something that this degree might help me get, because the jobs are starting there. And that's what it is that, you know, just because you got a degree doesn't guarantee you a job. But almost guaranteed, if you got a CDL and you got a good attitude and you know, you're willing to work, you're going to get a job. So, you know, just having a CDL doesn't guarantee you a job. Just having a college degree, you can't just have a college degree and show up and get paid. You got to have, just like it, you got to be wanting to work. You got to, you know, have a good attitude. Same thing with, you know, so it's all about, you know, and then as a college degree, you might not even get paid that much. Truck driver, you'll probably get paid more. Just saying. But yeah, that's about it. And that's what we talked about there. And it was a lot of fun. Everybody had a great time. So that's what we do day in, day out, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 515-602-9731, Redneck and I's Radio. And hang tight. We'll be back in a second.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like old Bandit Run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Radio. I'm back here. Looks like we got about 8 or 10 minutes left. So just going to take it on easy. And looks like I'm going to go to the phones. Check it out. What's going on, bud? How you been?
Hey, what's going on? I'm enjoying this lovely place of Pecos, Texas.
Pecos, Texas.
It's stuck
you know,
out here.
Yeah, I went
out here.
That Flying J is still there. They got more truck stops out there now.
No, they got a Loves across the street. That's where I'm at. That Flying J is still over there, and it's a pile of junk.
Yeah, it's a pile of junk.
It hasn't changed.
It used to be the only thing there. It was funny because I had a student, and, you know, when I was with Swift, I had a student, and we went out there, and that's where we had lunch. And he ordered the fish. And I kind of, like, looked at him, like, what are you doing? And he's like, what do you mean? I said, dude, you see any lakes around here? Like, you know, what do you think that fish comes from, man?
It took a day to get over here first.
Probably more than that, yeah. So,
it takes about a day to get from down by Corpus Christi, down by you or Houston or somewhere out in the bay there to get over here.
More than that, I tell you what, Pecos is way out there. I tell you what, it's, you know.
Yeah,
you're talking, what, at least another hour or two from, like, Midland. The Midland-Odessa area, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing out there to me. I don't know. It's funny. It loves out there. It's, you know, loves. Shoot, man. It's almost like every couple of hours, maybe every 100 miles, there's a big loves along Interstate 20 right there. Might be every 80 to 100 miles, there's a big loves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, loves has kind of been putting up more and more truck stops. Actually, they're working on this one that I'm at. They used to have a two-bay shop, and now they just dug out the – looks like they're going to have a pit in there so you can change your oil and whatnot.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Speedco. And then they added onto the building since I was here last, and they got another bay for tires, so.
Yep. Well, isn't that what they did? Isn't that what Speedco and Loves are, like, merged or something, and that they're part of the same company or something?
I think Loves bought out Speedco.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's how it is now. It's everybody's merging together to move the money around, you know, like TA Petro kind of thing and Flying J and Pilot and all that, you know. And like I was talking about at the beginning of the show, it's you know, we may not feel it, but they're moving their money around. They're doing just fine, you know. So whenever
everyone else is doing just fine, but an OTR driver. You like that picture I sent you, didn't you?
Yeah, that was good. Because it was like, there's a lot of OTR drivers. Like, I'll make good money. I say, dude, let me tell you something. I'm local now, and I've never made so much money as I did local. And a lot of these companies, like, we had a driver that I was working with. He quit and went to work for another company because that company paid overtime. The company I'm at, they don't pay overtime. But the difference is that when you're getting hours, the company here, since they don't pay the time and a half, nobody ever tells you, oh, you're working too many hours. You can't work that many hours. Now, if you get paid time and a half, when it's 5 o'clock, time to go home, everybody says, okay, everybody clock out. We're not paying overtime. Everybody clock out now. Go home now.
Yeah, you need to get out of here. We're not paying overtime.
Exactly.
You know, the companies that don't pay overtime, they don't care. It's like, whatever.
Yeah,
you can work your 50 hours, 60 hours. If you want to work 80 hours, go for it, but I'm not paying you overtime.
Exactly. So when a lot of times we get held up and the customers, like we do a lot of the residential deliveries out in the middle of nowhere, and that'll hold you up. Sometimes I go to work at 8 a.m. Sometimes I don't get off work. I don't actually clock out until 8 p.m., and they don't ever say nothing. They don't care, you know, and it's like, and you say, yeah, you know, that might not be a good thing. But what it is you just tell them, you know, hey, since I worked till 8 p.m. these last 2 days, can you kind of cut me some slack and I can go home around 5 o'clock today? And they're like, yeah, no problem. As long as you get, you know, what needs to be done. And a lot of times they'll schedule those out there in the middle of nowhere deliveries for one big day. That way it's always, you know, you're not working until 8 o'clock every day, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's communication is all it is. If you don't want to work,
you can go home early. You just get this is what you got to do today. You just make
exactly.
sure you get your stuff done, and
that's it, you know. And then, you know, I mean, I was at the point one time where I was doing like 12 hours a day. So for 4 days straight, I did 12 hours, and I told them, like the next week, it's like, okay, now I'm going to work 4 days at 12 hours a day. I said, I'm taking Friday off, you know, and then that way, and then it's like, I only work 4 days. That's fine. You know, 12 hours a day. That's great. You know, and then take
yeah.
that day off, you know, take your time off, get your time in with your family. And I mean, that's, you know, that's what it's all about. So yeah, it's all about what your priorities are. One guy, he wanted to go home at 5 o'clock every day. So he went to work for a company that paid overtime, and it was even worse, too, because the companies that pay overtime, they don't even pay that much per hour. You actually get paid more per hour. Like your 40 hours, you're making more money in 40 hours for a company that doesn't pay overtime. If you do get paid overtime, it's kind of like what the math was here was we were making 22 an hour not getting paid overtime. This was 5 years ago. 22 an hour not getting
right.
paid overtime. But the company that was paying overtime was only paying you $16 an hour, and that was like top pay.
Yeah,
so.
rate of pay goes down if they pay you if you're able to get overtime. If you don't get overtime,
right.
normally the pay's up there. It's pretty good.
So I told him, I said, dude, do the math. If I work 50 hours and you work 50 hours and you get paid overtime, I'm still making more money than you because I'm getting
yeah.
paid more for those first 40 hours. And he
yeah.
didn't see it. So basically his reward was he went home every day at 5 o'clock, which, you know, hey, that's what you want. Go right up, go for it. You know, that's fine. So yep, that's it.
I'll work another 2-3 more hours more than you, and I'll have Friday off. I'll have a 3-day weekend.
That's it too. You know, I mean,
there's a lot of fishing over 3 days. I can do it versus 2 days.
That's why when we were talking about it, I don't. You remember, you know, we were talking about driver shortage, and the biggest driver shortage is there's not enough drivers that want to do the out 3 weeks, home for 4 days. You know, there's drivers don't want to.
No,
do that.
I know one of them, but I don't know. He hasn't been on Facebook. I don't know what he is doing.
That's what it is, man.
Him going out more than 14 days. Oh man, he gets all uptight and whatnot.
Yeah.
And,
yep,
but
then again,
I think he's I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a couple of days,
yeah.
so I think
it,
he's getting his flatbed ready so he can get his flatbed going.
Yeah. See, and then the other thing is if he's at home more than 7 days, then he's risk of getting killed by the wife. You know, it's like you're here too long. You need to go back to work.
Yep, pretty much. That's how it works.
That's how it works, man. Oh man.
If you're home more than 5 days, then you take that chance, and then you take that chance of being gone too long, and then it's not a win-win situation. It's a lose-lose situation.
That's it. So where did I see?
I missed the show last night. So you were talking about the self-driving trucks last night?
Yeah, if you go check out the video, so there was an actual interview on
Yahoo. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yahoo Finance interviewed the head of Uber Freight. and he was talking about self-driving trucks and how Uber Freight hopes to establish hub-to-hub, where they're going to set up hubs near the shippers, and then the self-driving trucks would go from hub-to-hub, and there would be people. He didn't say drivers. He just said people at these hubs, you know, moving the trucks around, getting them ready to go out and all that. But he didn't specify. Huh. And that's kind of what I thought. I thought, you know, there would be places where and he said it kind of like right off the highway, like near the highway. And remember back in the day, you saw triples and those Rocky Mountain doubles or those turnpike doubles, they'd be sitting like right off by the exit. And then other trucks would come get the trailers when they broke them apart. But then they'd bring them to that area, put them together, and then pull right back on the interstate. And it would be the turnpike doubles, which is the two big trailers, or triples. You know, you see triples out there on New York Thruway all the time. But, yeah, those turnpike doubles, that was out there in Oklahoma and Kansas. They did that a lot. You might see that more. The government might let them do that. They might let self-driving trucks pull turnpike doubles, you know, down the interstate, whether it be Interstate 80, Interstate 40, you know, especially if you're only going from one big city to another in a self-driving truck, you know, like from the, if you get on the east side of Memphis there on Interstate 40 and you just take it to the west side of Nashville, you know, that's just a straight shot, you know, as long as you don't have to go through any kind of like exiting or whatever. You can move freight that way.
I just think, you know, with the self-driving truck, I think it's just going to be like a 300 or 400 mile stint in between hub to hub.
Yeah,
because that's how those trucks are going to be able to go on a charge. Yeah, so,
well, it's like right now Schneider is doing from Houston to Dallas, and that's only a 4-hour run. That's only 250 miles or less. So
right.
You know, so that's probably what it's going to be, is those short little runs. But that's okay too. You know, what I thought about it was is that, you know, try to help it out, like maybe work together with the driver and with the self-driving truck, put the driver in the truck. And let's say that the driver is leaving Phoenix for Dallas. Well, the driver can drive through city and get out there past Tucson, where it's and you get out in the middle of nowhere, turn on the self-driving and the truck can drive itself to El Paso, and then the driver can nap. And then the driver sets an alarm or whatever, gets up and says, okay, I'm here now. I'll drive through El Paso and get through there, maybe stop, whatever. And then once we get on the outs to the far, you know, east side of El Paso, turn it back on. And, man, you're talking about a good long trip of no big cities for a long time, and that you can have the self-driving go, especially if you're going to San Antonio, because there ain't nothing out there. On I-10 going
out. Well, it's starting to get a couple more truck stops out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's truck stops.
There's a Love's out there out in the middle of nowhere, but there's a Love's out there. I know that last time I ran across 10.
But I'm talking like, you know, big traffic highways.
Yeah. You don't get nothing until you get to San Antonio.
Exactly. You know,
from El Paso.
Right.
No, there's nothing out there.
But I'm saying just work with it. You know, they were trying to set up a deal between Kansas City and St. Louis, because the traffic was so heavy on Interstate 70 right there that they tried to put trucks on trains. And so you would get to Kansas City, put the truck on the train, go to sleep, and about 8 hours later you'd wake up in St. Louis. Because, you know, that way you didn't have to be on the road in that heavy traffic between St. Louis and Kansas City. But nobody, you know, there's no money to be in it, so nobody does it. So. But they do that. That's the normal in Europe. If you're in a big truck and you're trying to get from one side of the Alps to the other, the whole truck and trailer all go on the train, and it takes you through the Alps, and then you get over there, and then you do all your deliveries or run your route, and then you pick up a load and you come back and you get back on the train, and you go through the Alps again on the train, and then the truck and trailer get off the train and you go do your thing. So that's what they do out there. So that's what they're trying to do here, but you know, nobody wants to make any money. It's all about making money. So yeah, that's what it is. But yep, there you go.
Or you're trying to find someone that wants to work, and that's harder than finding a needle in a haystack right now.
Well, you know, and I was talking to somebody here about that, but you know, and they said, "What's your thought about autonomous trucks and all that?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's all coming like that. And go, yeah, but, you know, we're not going to, the drivers aren't going to want to do it. And I say, you know what, that's probably a good point. It's not that the technology is there. It's that if you have a driver, it's what it's hard to do is find drivers that want to do it, that want to get in the truck and let the truck drive. Because Jeff called in, that was, I think, Tuesday, where it was a self-driving truck. The driver of the truck hit the button, like, at the wrong time, and then the truck veered off and hit the center median because they engaged the self-driving, like the procedure of engaging the self-drive, they didn't follow the procedure. So when he flicked the switch, the truck jerked over to the left and hit the median. The wall. Yeah. So what it is, it's, you know, drivers are kind of scared of it, you know, so they don't want to mess with it, you know, so that's what's hard to do. And so like Jeff said, so are they going to have to find drivers with software engineering degrees, or they're going to hire software engineers that took driving lessons, you know, which is which. And it's like,
right.
You know,
you got some drivers out there that, you know, I'm one of them. I like to be, when we go somewhere, I like to drive just because I feel more in control, you know?
Right.
And I know there's a lot of drivers out there that I don't think would want to do the self-driving truck because they're not in control when they engage that deal, you know?
I agree with you. So, yep. Well, cool deal. So let's see, what else am I got here? I was looking at what I'm going to, oh yeah, you know what? Let's play this one. Cause I didn't play.
There once was a
shanty. How about that one? That's awesome. You ever listen to this song all the way through? They call it a sea shanty.
Yeah, I think I've heard that once before.
Yeah, that's all over TikTok and all that crap. But cool, yep. So yeah, That's what it's all about, man. I tell you what, we another week in the books for Redneck and I's Radio.
Nice.
Yep. And I'm fixing to head to work.
Yeah, we need to have Greg call in next week or something, try to get him to call in. We need some more rants.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because I went on the rants earlier, you know, this week and everything, and I don't know. They got some good views, but I get too technical in my rants.
We just need to get Greg fired up again. It's always good times when we get him fired up.
Good radio, man. It's good radio. So cool. Yep. Got to do it. Yep.
All right, man. Yeah, you're about end of the show here, so.
Yep.
We'll catch you next week sometime.
Sounds good, bud. Appreciate you.
Uh-huh.
All right, man.
Have a good night.
You too, bud. We'll talk to you later.
No, man.
All right, bye-bye. Awesome. So, yep, that's come down to the end of it right there. It is 8:03 on the East Coast. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go follow us on Facebook and Instagram and all that good stuff. Twitter, too, is where we're at. Also, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're on YouTube Live here every time we do a radio show. And you can follow along there, or you can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Don't forget to go check out one of our great sponsors. One of the sponsors I like to mention at the end here is Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. That's a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and those guys are drop-dead busy over there. They got hazmat, special handling. They got lift gates and reefers and all kinds of stuff over there. So if you're looking for something where you can stay busy and learn a lot about the business, check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation. And appreciate all their support of Redneck and Ice. So check us out. Like I said, we'll be back Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're always here weekdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. I appreciate everybody doing that. And like I said, y'all stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.
Recording stopped.